Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Biggs. Let us get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you, to give you praise, we give you all glory and honor. We are grateful to you, Lord, for all that you have done, for the fact that you've kept us through all the way from January until this day, May 31st. We are so grateful. And we thank you, Lord, as we look forward to crossing over into this new month and new time and new season. We are forever looking for your blessings and for the many things that you do for us. Thank you for the fact that you load us with benefits each and every day, and we receive those benefits. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. This morning, Lord, we pray the Colossians prayers over ourselves from the day we heard of it. We have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, instead of growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. And I give thanks to you, Father, because you're qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy kingdom life. And I thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, that you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Well, this morning we're talking about having both a divine life. That divine life actually includes the benefits of healing and restoration. You know, God is in the business of bringing us back to our original position, in fact, better than what we originally were supposed to be. Now, the Bible tells us, it lets us know that God has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. So, which means that as Christians, there should be nothing that we should be lacking in any area of our lives. In fact, we should be living in a state of shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, and nothing lacking. However, there are things that we are missing. There's certainly all of us have areas where we find that we are not completely fulfilled, or we don't have the things that, you know, God has promised us in his word. We don't yet possess those things. And so today we're going to begin looking at how do we possess everything that God has given us in this life. If you go to the book of John 10, we begin at verse 7 all the way to verse 11. Jesus is speaking. He says, the Bible tells us, so Jesus said again, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that I myself am the door for the sheep. All others who came as such before me are thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to and obey them. I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and will find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. So again, here Jesus is telling us, many times we just normally pull out John 10:10 and we stay there. But first of all, he says he's the door. So we have to go through the door, which means we have to go through Jesus in order for us to obtain this divine life that God has freely given unto us. And he says the thief only comes in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, the area of healing, the area of health, is one of importance to God. In fact, God lets us know that I am the Lord that heals you. He says, if you will serve me, I will take sickness and disease away from you. Now, why is that so important to God that he lets us know that he is the God that heals us or take away sickness and disease? In fact, when Jesus went to the cross, the Bible tells us that when he was on the cross, he bore our sins and our sicknesses. And by his stripes, we are the healed and not the sick. Now, why is that so important? All these three are talking about healing. Well, if we are not completely healed in our physical body and we don't have healing in other areas of our lives, we are not going to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Part of that abundant life is us being completely healed and restored in every area of our life. That's why, you know, divine health is so important. If you don't have health, you know, if your health is not in good shape, you know, you are sick. Most times that sickness, for some people, if it's really, you know, serious sickness, it can end in death. And so that's, again, the enemy stealing. Sickness comes from the devil. So it can end in death. So again, what is that? It's life. The Bible, throughout the Bible, you see those scriptures where God is talking about, you know, when you do this, take this word as medicine, it will give us long life. Why is God talking about life? Because life, you know, us, in order for us to enjoy divine life, divine healing has to be part of it. And so we are going to talk about some of this morning, look at some of the areas and some of the things that we must do in order to maintain divine health so that we can live this abundant life. Because remember, if we're sick, we're not going to enjoy anything. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. That woman, she suffered for 12 years. She spent all the money that she had. I highly doubt that she was enjoying her life at that moment. The abundant life that Jesus came to give us was available to her. She didn't enjoy it. Why? Because she spent all her time tending to her health and also spending all her money, you know, on doctors so that she could be better. And the Bible tells us she grew worse instead of getting better. In fact, Jesus, you know, in the book of 3, John 2, we are told, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." God wants us to prosper in every area of our lives. However, we need to be in health so that we, as our soul is prospering, then we are also healthy. Then we can enjoy the divine life. Now, there is no shortcut to divine health. So at the, you know, at the core of all these things, we must be healthy. Amen. And there is no shortcut to divine health. There are certain basic rules that we must follow or partake of if we want to be able to live an abundant life or we want to have divine life. It's important that we follow these rules faithfully and with determination and zeal. Now, God has done everything on his end, everything possible for you and I to be in health. That is why Jesus came. The Bible says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, you know, who came. Why did he come? So that he could, you know, deliver those who were under oppression of the devil. When you're sick, you are under oppression of the enemy. Amen. In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power, how he went about doing good, in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. So that's what one of Jesus' missions. In fact, when you study the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus not only preached the word of God, but he also healed. So healing was a huge part of his ministry. He also did deliverance. Why? Because in order for us to enjoy divine life, healing must be a part of it. Deliverance must be a part of it. Amen? And so Jesus came. And so we know he came so that we can have and enjoy life to the full till it overflows. Now, many of us are not there yet. We are not enjoying our lives. We don't have it in abundance. It is not yet full. It is not yet overflowing the way that Jesus intended for it to overflow. But we thank God that the Word of God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. to help us fix that. Amen. Now, like I said, God has done everything possible for you and I to be in health. That is why Jesus came. God is not the author of sickness. The devil is, and he is still planning and devising new diseases and releasing them into the world. It could be the same thing with a different name, with a different strain, but he's still planning a way of taking out the world. That's why you'll find in different parts of the world when you hear of there's an outbreak of this and an outbreak of that, generally the lives of the people who are affected by them. Why? Because it's a plan of the enemy. He's releasing that. That's one of the ways when he attacks our health. That's one of the ways to get us out from under God's plan and purpose for our lives. And so that's why healing is a very, very important part of divine life, this abundant life that Jesus came to give us. So it's important that you and I know our right to health and insist on it. Amen? Christianity is not a religion. It's the supernatural ability to live like God here on earth. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to pray that, you know, for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And so this is so real and it's so important that you get it. Anything that draws you away from the word of God is your own killer disease. Whatever it is, if it draws you away, if it distracts you from the word of God, kill you eventually. Now, I'm not talking about always physical death, but it can be spiritual death, just like we saw with Adam and Eve. They didn't die a physical death. The Bible says that once they ate of the tree of life and they disobeyed God, you know, they ended up, you know, they died. Well, it was a spiritual death. You know, they disconnected from God and they ended up being kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Well, whatever that thing is, its intention is to destroy you. Its intention, remember the Bible says the thief comes to kill, to steal, and it steals, kill, and destroy. And so whatever it is that takes you or draws you away from God or from his word, that thing is a killer disease and you must get rid of it. You must disconnect from it in your life. It is trying and struggling to squeeze life out of you. You see, the word is the source of our life. The word of God, it is the source of our life. And if we are cut off from the word of God, then we are removed from the source of life, and that will kill us very quickly. Now, many people handle the word of God, you know, they're not serious about the word of God. They handle it with levity. They allow their word study to be interrupted anyhow, you know, and that is not profitable for any believer. You know, you can't, when you are studying the word, that should not be the time to answer phones. That shouldn't be the time to get distracted by other things. But we are given an example in the Bible of Mary and Martha. Martha gave herself to much serving and cooking while her sister sat at the feet of Jesus to learn. And the Lord told Martha when she was complaining that her sister wasn't helping her to serve. And she's like, Jesus, you tell her to come and help me serve. And the Lord said, no, you're distracted. You're busy about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. So very simple. One thing is needful, sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning. The better part is to listen to the word at all available opportunities. You see, stay where the word is being preached. It is not how long you've been a Christian that matters, but how much you have in you. Now, all of us need to get acquainted with God through studying and hearing the word. Now, this will be your sure anchor in life. Studying, not just reading the Bible, but studying. Studying and hearing the word of God. You see, God did not create any of us to struggle. He did not create us to be stagnant. You know, he created us for victory. And so if we are not victorious, in all areas of our lives, not some, but all areas of our lives. That means there's much studying that we need to do, much hearing from God that we need to do. In order for us to maintain our health, we must be in faith. We have to have a victory mentality. You see, let the word of God become your identity. Be willing to accept the word as you receive it from God. In fact, in Isaiah 1, verse 19, King James Version says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. In Amplified Version, it says in Isaiah 1, 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And in the Living Bible, it says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then I will make you rich in health, in prosperity, in abundance of everything. Hallelujah. And so this is so important that we understand, if you will only obey, if you will only let me help you, if you're willing and obedient, if you're willing to spend time in the Word of God, studying the Word, if you're willing to hear, listen to the teachings, listen to the Word of God being preached. Remember, the Bible tells us that, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing. It's not faith comes by hearing once. No, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing. So it means that it's, you know, you repeat that. You don't do it. It's not a one-time thing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Amen. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So spend time in the word, listening to the word. Spend time studying the word, searching the scriptures. You see, why this is so important is that Apostle Paul tells us in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, but understand this, that in the last days will come or set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. We're already experiencing things that are supposed to be happening in the last days. So we can say that we've, you know, entered into that time of, for instance, like the time of labor that a woman enters into. Well, we are starting to experience the labor pangs. And so we are in the last days. It says, understand that in the last days will come, will set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. So whenever you are spending time studying, investing time studying the word, investing time in listening to the word of God, what you're doing is securing yourself properly before these perilous times come to, a high place, come to, you know, before these perilous times set in such a way that, you know, people all over the world are experiencing this great stress, this trouble that is hard to deal with and hard to bear. And so health is one of the things that is going to be precious in these last days. It's going to be something that is going to be appreciated and enviable in our days. Why? Because anyone who has good health, divine health, will be looked upon as a king or a queen. And so that's why we need to get ready and prepare ourselves for it. Now, it is not and will not be in your favor if you begin to run all over the place this way and that way when trouble comes. You see, as a Christian, you need to fortify yourself against evil times because they will surely come. You know, the Bible says that if you fail in the time of trouble, then your strength is little. So you do not need to wait for the trouble before you get ready. You need to stay in health. Build the word into your system, and it will keep you in health. Now, the basic foundation for divine health is found in several scriptures that I want to share with you this morning. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we go to Acts, chapter 2, and verse 42. So Acts 2:42, and it says, and they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayers. So clearly, one of the things that you must partake of regularly in your home is Holy Communion. Amen? You must partake of Holy Communion in your home on a regular basis. You don't have to wait for it to be done in church one Sunday a month. No, you can partake of Holy Communion daily. In fact, if you study the scriptures, especially in the book of Acts, we find that the people would all get together on a daily basis. When they were having meals, they would actually have Holy Communion. Amen. So they devoted themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayer. So it's not like the Lord's Supper was a once in a while thing. They did that every day. In Proverbs chapter 4, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 through 24. Proverbs 4, 20 through 24, it says, my son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Put away from you false and dishonest speech, and willful and contrary talk put far from you. Amen. So this is Proverbs chapter 4 from verse 20 through 24. Then let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm just sharing with you a few of these scriptures that are basic foundation for divine health. And Hebrews 12, verse 22 through 24, Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, it says, but rather you have come to Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless multitudes of angels and festal gathering, and to the church assembly of the firstborn who are registered as citizens in heaven, and to the God who is judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous, the redeemed in heaven, who have been made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator, the go-between agent of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. And so we see that prayers, the word of God, you know, instruction of the word of God, so listening to teaching, Holy Communion is part of it, confessing the word, speaking it out of our mouths daily. You know, the Bible tells us that God has given us a choice. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. So if we speak the word of God out of our mouths, and in fact, he tells us to choose life, you know, in case you don't know which one to choose life. And so life, when we speak words, we can speak life into our situations, or we can speak death into our situations. And so Proverbs 4, 20 through 24 tells us the word of God is our medicine. As we speak it, we're speaking life. As we take it in, as we confess it, as we meditate upon it, you know, allowing it to digest in our entire body, we are building, as we build ourselves up in the word of God. You know, most times we know how to build ourselves up in prayer by praying in the Holy Spirit, but we also must learn to build ourselves, let the word, you know, build the word into our lives. We need to get acquainted with the word of God, build it in our lives as part of us. Amen. Build the word into our system so that it will keep us in health. And so then we find here that the blood of Jesus is also part of it, the blood that speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. You see, one of the things that our lives are supposed to do is to preach the gospel of Jesus with divine health. If you are not healthy, how do you minister to somebody else? How do you even get them to be saved? You know, how do you tell them about this blessed life that we live with Jesus when you're missing everything that Jesus brought for us, including divine health? You know, so that's why restoration is part of God's plan for us, so that we are restored back in our health. And once we are restored in our health, then every other area will follow. Amen. And so as we continue, there are 10 steps or 10 ways of maintaining our divine health that, are listed in the Word of God. Now, again, this is just my 10. It doesn't necessarily mean this is it that the Bible says. No, this is the 10 that I believe and that the Holy Spirit has shown me and taught me that will help us to maintain divine health in order for us to then be able to go and, you know, and recover what the enemy has stolen from us. Amen. It reminds me of how David, when he came back from battle with the Philistines, he came to Ziklag and he found that the place had been torn apart. They had been robbed. Their children, wives, everything had been taken. And so when David inquired of the Lord if he would go after the enemy, and the Lord said, yes, you can go. But one of the things that he asked, he didn't just inquire to say, should I go after the enemy? He said, should I go after them and will I recover all? And God said, yes, you can go pursue them and you will recover all. So if David wasn't in good health, there was no way he would have been able to pursue that enemy, and there was no way he would have been able to recover all that he needed to recover. Amen. And so in order for us to do this warfare, to recover what the enemy has stolen from us, we need to be in health. We need to have divine health flowing through us. That way, then we can go after the enemy, because, yes, the enemy has stolen from us. He has killed. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So once he steals from you, then he tries to kill you, then he eventually wants to destroy you. And so that's why you can't get into bed with the devil. You can't, you know, be relaxed about fighting the enemy. You know, that's the only way. If you look at the, you know, Old Testament, when the people were going in to possess what God had given them, their land, you know, their possessions, they had to be aggressive about it. They had to fight. They had to contend. Those are the words that the Bible uses. They had to contend with the enemy to drive out the inhabitants of the land which belonged to them. Right now, the enemy has stolen our stuff. The enemy has taken things that God has given to us on this earth so that we can live a life of abundance. In fact, the Bible says that, you know, God has already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The reason why we don't have them is because the enemy steals and he kills. And so he has stolen from us enough. It is time for us to go after, to pursue, and to recover all. Amen. God wants us to restore everything that he wants to restore to us, everything that the enemy has stolen from us. But we also have to be in a position to go out there and to contend with the enemy. And that's why divine health is so important. That's why Jesus taught on healing. You know, if we are living lives in divine health, then we can make sure that we fight the battles that we need to fight in order to recover all that the enemy has stolen from us. And since we're out of time this morning, what we'll do is pick up from here tomorrow by God's grace, and we'll start looking at these 10 ways of maintaining divine health. Amen. I pray that you have been blessed by today's teaching, and by God's grace, we'll meet again tomorrow morning. Be blessed. Bye-bye.